When We're Heroes. Written by Demery. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, My Hero Academia. Rating, General Audiences. Category, Gen. Also tagged for fluff and angst, trans male character, chest binders, chest binding, gender dysphoria, body dysphoria, anxiety, coming out, sort of. Shinzo is bad at communicating. Aren't we all? Bonding. Deku being the purest bean. Deku's real quirk. Research. The Yagi mystery is pierced. And soft. Part 17 of the Bandages and Bravado series. Author's notes. Technically, this takes place before blowing off steam, but I like to space out my Deku so I can handle his purity in little bites. Author's disclaimer. Hey guys, please do not bind while exercising. It's unsafe and screws with your ribs and lung capacity. Thanks to OOH plus boy for making sure I knew and could communicate that. Maybe because Wednesday afternoons, after school, were usually dedicated to studying English, Midoriya was somehow surprised to find himself on the floor of a cluttered, darkened bedroom, poking fruitlessly at a plastic controller. The day had come. He and Shinzo were hanging out. Midoriya could plainly say that he'd never hung out before and wasn't sure what to make of it. Such unstructured time was drastically different from study dates and other goal-oriented trips, and the difference was immediately and terribly noticeable, verging on horrifying for the introverted boy. The lifelong cracks in Midoriya's confidence and his simple inexperience with people his age quickly curdled the silence into pure anxiety and hallucinated missed cues. Once Shinzo directed him to his gaming system, they just sat there in the chilly half-dark, hanging out. Hanging out was exceptionally stressful, he decided about half an hour into the situation. Surely there were things Midoriya was supposed to be doing, things he was supposed to be saying, to be more interesting to the other boy. But all he could offer was that he was really, really bad at video games. His character kept dying every 4 seconds. But Shinzo didn't seem to notice or care. Bundled barefoot on a beanbag chair in the corner of his small, dark room and scrolling on his phone with a vague frown. The silence was certainly weird, but not necessarily standoffish. It made Midoriya remember what the other boy said in what was ostensibly their first conversation. I don't go where I'm not wanted. Did the same apply to people he invited in? They had made their plans a few days ago over text. Had he changed his mind since? Sitting on the floor and vibrating with nerves certainly wasn't helping his score, and also wasn't what Midoriya would call fun. He bit his lip, excruciatingly conscious of his slippery grip on the controller. So, you're still training with Aizawa-sensei? He ventured at last, keeping his eyes locked on the dire, judgmental, game over screen like it mattered. Yeah, Shinzo said, as if from very far away. Then exhaled noisily. Well, sorta. Sorta? Midoriya peeked over his shoulder. After a moment, Shinzo met his gaze, round face ghostly pale in the glow of his phone screen. He chewed his lip, clearly weighing something in his mind. He gave me homework. Homework I have to finish before we can start again. Shinzo scowled down at his phone, reaching up to tug through his flyaway hair and tucking it back into the hood of the oversized sweatshirt encasing his long limbs. He was very wrapped up for it being summer, but the house was also exceptionally chilly and dark. No exception. Oh, homework! Do you need any help with it? Midoriya asked brightly, jumping on a familiar subject in an otherwise alien landscape without a thought. Bad idea. The look Shinzo shot him this time was almost mistrustful, and the tall boy seemed to curl up in on himself, sinking further into his yellow beanbag chair. Midoriya had tried to make himself as small as possible for far too long not to recognize the clear effort to hide. Only if you want. I know you want to keep training, but obviously, he stammered, abruptly sweating. Obviously, if you don't want help, want to do it on your own, maybe Aizawa-sensei would even get mad if I... He quickly ran out of words, and Shinzo didn't say anything when he did. Cowed, Midoriya went back to staring at the screen and trying to figure out how to shift the camera angle around his doomed character. His heart smacked sickeningly against his ribs, vilifying his mistake and clear stupidity, even as Midoriya wasn't sure what he'd done. Should he leave? He should probably leave. "It's support gear," Shinzo said quietly after a moment, determinedly not meeting his eyes when he looked around again. "But there's a lot out there, and I don't know where to start." "Support gear?" Midoriya exclaimed, apparently not learning his lesson the first time about unbridled enthusiasm for familiar subjects. It was the first piece of information Shinzo had offered of his own free will, and that was enough. Midoriya grinned and turned to kneel on the floor, the game controller forgotten behind him. "That's awesome! Are you guys already thinking about field application? Like maybe a voice modulator to disguise your voice? It would make it so much easier to do covert jobs while protecting your identity. If there was a way to sample people's voices, wow, that would be your ultimate move. Of course, anything you need, you could probably source out of the support course. I'm not sure what you're looking for online, but maybe there's some freelance companies I don't know about." Midoriya realized he was mumbling, and had been for a while, when he noticed Shinzo staring at him with wide eyes. He felt himself go red up to his ears, and audibly swallowed whatever he was about to say next, ducking his head. For the 20th time, he wondered if he could just pick up the controller again and hide until it was time to go. But then Shinzo turned off his phone and leaned back in his beanbag chair, arms locked tightly across his chest. "That's pretty cool. I never thought about that," he admitted quietly, staring at his knees. Then, even quieter, "Nobody's ever talked about my quirk like it was exciting, like it could be good, like it could help." Midoriya didn't really have to guess. And the tired, wary look on the other boy's face was too familiar to endure without risking embarrassing himself a little more. "Ever since the sports festival, I have a lot of ideas," he offered under his breath, heat creeping up his neck again. He glanced at his backpack, where his battered, graphite-stained hero notebook lived. "If you want to see them, that is." "Yeah," was all Shinzo said, with an odd expression on his face. Then he shook his head with a lopsided smile and a sliver of teeth. "You're really weird." "Yeah, people tell me that a lot," Midoriya said in a rush, finding himself grinning again. Shinzo was smiling. Smiling, not sneering or smirking or grimacing. It was something he hadn't seen before. It made him a little braver, even. "I think it's because I get way too excited about things, but I think part of being at UA is learning to like weird things about yourself," he continued, encouraged by the way Shinzo was clearly listening to him. He laughed a little, gesturing to his temples like they were whirling gears. Like the way I feel when I'm really thinking, like my brain is firing yellow light and all the hero studies I did since I was a kid, it's what makes me different. Maybe I'm not smart like Yayorozu-san, but I'm my kind of smart. Heroes, quirks, strategy, I can see how it all fits together in my head. It's what I really care about, and, for the record, I think your quirk is really amazing. I think it could really help people, and, like I said, I've never seen you use it in a bad way. There was something to be said for Shinzo reclining on the shoulders of four students like a king during the sports festival. But there were elements of mercy or practicality to it. Four students could bear his weight without pain, and they were also general studies students who didn't have much to gain from the event itself. Most were even angling for an early exit, believing themselves to be cannon fodder for the hero course. At least Shinzo wasn't taking anything from anyone, even if the compromise wasn't easy. And Midoriya had to believe that the other boy was just fighting as hard as he was because he knew how many people his quirk could help if he could just get noticed. You can't help what you long for. Midoriya heard it again, like that day on the stage, raw and sorrowful, difficult, but above all, helplessly devout. Was there a more slicing truth in the world? Would Midoriya even be sitting here today if there were, or would he be enrolled in an engineering course in a drab gray high school somewhere across town because he hadn't blurted out his most important question to his most important hero? The thought stole his breath and rattled the light in his bones, and Midoriya almost touched his red tie, just to reassure himself, just to check that it wasn't all a dream. Surfacing from his thoughts, Midoriya realized Shinzo was just looking at him. And looking. He wasn't used to being studied, or even paid attention to. But maybe UA had changed that, too. The silly blush started up again, a persistent prickle of warmth behind his ears. But the young hero held steady and looked right back at his strange schoolmate, waiting. "You hang out with Yagi-san a lot, don't you?" Shinzo asked suddenly, unblinking. "Who, son?" Midoriya asked, a little dizzy from the violent shift. Shinzo gestured up, then to his hair. "Really tall guy, wild yellow hair, dark eyes, works on campus. Isn't a hero, though. Yellow suit." Midoriya squinted. Hard. The facts weren't adding up to the picture in his head, which was definitely a worrisomely familiar picture. "How tall?" he asked reluctantly. "Like..." Shinzo grimaced and pointed up at the ceiling. "Tall like a tree." "Oh, Yagi-san, I thought you, said, Midoriya cleared his throat and rattled his head, trying to de-squeak his voice and sound normal and relaxed and calm, like two spheres of his life hadn't violently collided. "Yes, we know each other," he gulped loudly. "A little. Sometimes. For school." Apparently satisfied with the confirmed connection, Shinzo nodded, slumping back in his beanbag chair again. "He's smart. And cool." Midoriya nodded automatically, completely mystified as to where this was going. Or how, or under what circumstances, All Might had been in contact with another student enough to give him a fake name. Or was it a fake name? There was so much he didn't know. All Might wasn't born All Might, right? Maybe there was some relief in that fact. Shinzo's pale eyes studied him unblinkingly in the silence, and Midoriya once again fought not to look away. He felt his smile harden nervously on his face, then realized this wasn't one of those times he had to smile for anyone. Shinzo didn't seem to care about that. It was actually exceptionally hard to gauge what he cared about. Until, that is, the other boy leaned over and offered Midoriya his phone. "I don't know how to pick or even what to look for. It's really bumming me out," Shinzo mumbled with his arm outstretched, dark ringed eyes downcast. "Like, I want it, but I feel shitty the more I think about it, you know?" Heart high in his throat, Midoriya carefully took the phone and reactivated the screen. Momentarily scrambled by the unfamiliar OS and exaggerated haptic feedback, it was a very new phone, with plenty of screen to scroll through Shinso's current compendium. Torso gear of some kind. Too short to be full armor, but made of thick, sturdy material. Midoriya scrolled and read and scrolled and read. Words jumped out at him in the descriptions accompanying each photo. Supportive. Trans male. Trans mask. Breathable. Machine washable. Safe binding. Circulation. Maximum wear. Oh, this is for... Midoriya's eyes widened, an involuntary side effect of his brain blooming wide with revelation, as the words fit together with the pictures and he realized. He looked up. This is for you? Even in the low lighting, even under the shadow of his triple-sized sweatshirt hood, a nasty flush stood out on Shinso's neck and face. In that instant, he looked legitimately frightened. Oh, hi! Midoriya squeaked, stupidly raising a hand as if to greet the boy who had been lounging next to him for an hour. Shinso stiffened. You don't have to, he muttered shortly, leaning over again to reach for his phone. And now Midoriya realized the very, very personal offer. Midoriya immediately pulled away, out of reach, and then realized how rude it was, how rude he was, and how... He laughed shrilly, panicking in about 14 different ways. Of course I can. I will. I just wanted to make sure, because this is personalized equipment, he stammered. And then, when Shinso didn't move to reclaim the phone by force, he hunkered down and tapped away at the screen with his fingers, muttering to himself. Okay, yeah, let's see. First we need to outline relevant specs, then gather some evidence. Sales data might be good, but won't necessarily reflect quality as much as availability and market presence. So if we prioritize functionality and user reviews and narrow it by, that should do it. His brain was off, firing yellow light and piecing the new mystery. Though the revelation was surprising, the more Midoriya looked, the more he thought, the more he understood. It was simple support gear, like Aoyama's belt or his own braces. Things that let them get along with their bodies. Important things that kept them safe. You're smart. Midoriya looked up. Shinso was cross-legged and regarding him almost shyly, hood off, and messy lavender hair poofing out proudly. He hunched over, hiding a tiny self-conscious smile. Thanks, Midoriya-kun. Of course, Midoriya said, grinning down at his phone. I'm really happy to help, especially if it gets you training again, you know? Maybe we can team up when we're both heroes. Yeah, that would be great, he agreed excitedly, then snapped his fingers. Oh, I forgot to ask, what's your budget? Now flat on his back in the squishy chair, bare feet propped against the wall, Shinso shrugged. Like 8,000 yen? I have stuff left over from allotment, because I just use my parents' office supplies instead of buying new stuff. He peered over, sparse brows high. Is that enough? Too much? Not enough? It's a start. It was a good start, too. Pulling his own phone into the mix to give himself a second screen to follow up on separate leads, Midoriya quickly circumnavigated any marketing smokescreens and cut to the core of the product itself, finding some high-ranking binders that were endorsed by trans heroes. It was the best way to judge the quality and safety of the gear in terms of physical activity, he reasoned. But he still felt a flutter of anxiety handing the phone over to Shinso, ducking his head as he did so. I figured the best source would be someone doing the same kinds of things you're doing, just to make sure both the equipment and you would hold up to hero work. So, I found this hero. His handle is Polemic. He's new, but I've been hearing more about him since last summer. Even if I didn't know, anyway, I thought they would know. It has a combat mode and a casual mode, which is cool. And if you look, it's also got the official roar of approval from Tiger, you know, from the Wild Wild Pussycats. And he's definitely a good... Midoriya trailed off again. It took only one look to realize that Shinso wasn't listening anymore. But for a good reason. His pale hands were clawed around his phone, and the light illuminated his wide eyes and stunned expression. Before that moment, maybe he didn't know there were heroes like him. Shinzo looked absolutely floored by the prospect, hardly seeming to breathe as he clicked further and further into the website. "When are your parents home?" Midoriya asked timidly, when he couldn't take the silence anymore. With Shinzo as absorbed as he was, it felt like he was the only one in the house, the video game long since a dead screen. "Should I leave before they get here, or..." The way the other student had just walked into the dark house just off campus and kicked off his shoes to lead the way spooked him at first. It felt like forbidden territory with no presiding parent to greet them and afford them entry. Midoriya didn't want to make a bad impression on the Shinzos, and he was used to his mother always being home, but maybe he was lucky that way. Shinzo shrugged again, breaking out of the spell of his phone to blink up at him. "They'll be home at 8, so you're good." He shut his phone off with visible reluctance, and then stared beyond it, something hollow in his shadowed gaze. "They work a lot." "I'm sorry," Midoriya said quietly. When Shinzo looked over, curious, he spluttered and stared at his bandaged hands, twisting them in his lap. "I mean, I don't know. My dad travels all the time for work, and I never get to see him. He calls on my birthdays, but sometimes he forgets the time zones and I miss it. I can't blame him, I guess. My mom is the best, but..." As if to ease the sudden mournful pressure in his chest, the product of yet another crashing of worlds, Midoriya leaned forward, thumbing along his bare arms and carefully breathing out. "When I was little, I always liked being at my friend's house. His dad was so nice, and it felt like such a full house. Like, if anybody asked for any help, it would be okay. You were okay for asking, and would maybe even get more than you needed." He shook his head, laughing a little. "Not that that my friend would ever ask for help. It's just the way he is." "It's funny. People who grow up having stuff, they never appreciate it," Shinzo muttered, nodding. "They never know how it is without it, so they don't care. They don't even try." "I guess. Everybody is different, so everyone's challenges are different," Midoriya offered solemnly, frowning down at his socks. There was a hole in the toe, a little too near his pinky toe. He sighed. "We shouldn't judge others based on our own challenges, is what I mean. We can't make people see what they already have, and maybe it's not our job. I guess all we can do is recognize that missing piece in others and try to help them find it. It's another way of being a hero, I think." "I want to be in 1A, Shinzo said suddenly, looking startled by his own words. He cleared his throat, curling up to rest his chin on his knees. "Not 1B, I mean. I think... with Aizawa-sensei and you guys, I could start to be a hero. A real one." "I would like that, Shinzo-kun," Midoriya said as kindly as he could, smiling at the thought of all of them together. Controller untouched, the boy sat in thoughtful silence, until a squeaking, rumbling groan split the quiet. Midoriya buckled where he sat with a grimace, hands clapping over his belly as it growled piteously again. It was obscenely loud. "Wow, you hungry or something?" Shinzo asked with a chuckle, giving him a wry look over his knees. "I guess. I got caught up studying and missed lunch. I hadn't even thought about it, but..." Midoriya wheezed, wincing and squirming at the next wave of gravelly discomfort. It was almost finals, and even though the written portion was done, there was still the practicals, and sometimes reading about strategy was helpful, and... "Hey, you can't do that. You have to take care of your body." Midoriya looked up, and almost poked his own eye out. Shinzo's long arm spanned the distance between them, finger trained straight on his freckled nose. The other boy's face was dead serious past the accusing finger, and Midoriya was struck by a certain uncanny similarity in the piercing, tired eyes and the no-nonsense frown. Shinzo had been learning more from Aizawa-sensei than sparring techniques, that was for sure. "I'm taking care of mine. You do yours. Even if it takes away from what you think you should be doing, training shouldn't ever get in the way of eating or resting. Shinso continued, with bland yet stern authority, glowering over at him. Then the Gen Studies student flashed him a toothy half-smile, cocking his head. I'm guessing you need a bunch more nutrients than the rest of us for all those broken bones, too. Midoriya laughed sheepishly, but fell silent when Shinso's pointed finger changed to an open palm, beckoning. Deal? He drawled, still smiling. Midoriya reached back and took that hand, shaking it firmly with a smile of his own. They were holding each other accountable, and that was good. Blind spots were just as important as strengths when it came to building a team, and that's what Midoriya intended to do, whether he realized it or not. A dinner-time text from Midoriya's mother roused the two boys from further talk a few minutes later, and the budding hero leapt to gather his things, having lost track of time in brainstorming hero gear. As soon as he hoisted his backpack onto his shoulders, Shinso led the way to the door and offered a stilted apology for his earlier distraction, which Midoriya waved away. Next time, he offered, they would do something. Maybe study English together or check out one of the local shops for new pro hero merchandise. It sounded great. A lot better than hanging out, even if this session had ended pretty well. Thanks, Midoriya-kun, Shinso said as they made it to the front step, the sky reddening above them in floral hues as the sun sank. With your help, I'll be back in action in... Hanging inside the door, Shinso bit his lip and tapped something on his phone screen, and there was a muted, cheerful ping. He gave another toothy, lopsided smile. The third one that afternoon, and no less welcome. Sweet. 3 business days before 5 p.m. I'm so glad I could help, Midoriya exclaimed, hiking his backpack up with much more enthusiasm than necessary, and nearly swinging it over his head in the process. He couldn't help it. He understood implicitly that it was no small thing for Shinso to ask in the first place, and fairly squirmed with the knowledge that came with such a vote of trust. Buoyed and beaming, what Midoriya blurted out next was almost involuntary, a mirroring invitation to knowing. And you can call me Deku, if you want. Yeah, okay. Shinso smiled uncertainly down at his mismatched house socks, rubbing at the back of his neck. He nudged the doormat flat with his foot, only for it to curl up again. And maybe we could talk about it later? About those support gear ideas? Oh, yeah, I've got sketches and everything! Shinso waved him out, just a little tilt of his hand beyond his huge hoodie. But when Midoriya made his way down the sidewalk and glanced back to orient himself on the orderly residential streets, the tall silhouette of him was still parked there in the doorway, poking at his phone with a faint, dreamy smile. It was worth way more than slightly chilly Hayashi rice, but Midoriya made sure to give his mom an extra tight hug as soon as he made it through the door, and say thank you. For cooking, for caring, but above all, for being there. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!